WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two here on Fun Friday, brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. And today's Fun Friday question is, what is your favorite game show? Because we have John Davison joining Paul Santos tomorrow here on WBSM in the 8 o'clock hour. And he was the host of one of my favorite game shows, Hollywood Squares. And I think, you know, all incarnations of Hollywood Squares were great. Whether it is, you know, well, I haven't seen the current version. Have they launched the one with Drew Barrymore yet? Because I haven't seen that. And I don't have a lot of high hopes for that one. But the John Davidson one is probably my favorite of all time. The Tom Bergeron one was pretty good, especially when Gilbert Gottfried was on it. You fool! Still one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And then, oh, why am I blanking on the name of the original host, Peter, I'm blanking on it, but they had some really funny moments on that, especially with Paul Lynde. But the format of it is what I always liked. You know, when you think about it, it's the simplest game in the world. It's tic-tac-toe. That's all that it was, tic-tac-toe. But then they just were able to, you know, add all that humor in around it, which so much of it came off as unscripted, but a lot of it was scripted. And then some of it really was off the cuff. But I always thought it was a great show, but I always was concerned, like, I hope I never become famous and have to go on Hollywood Squares, because they're going to stick me in one of those top squares and I have to go up that shaky staircase in the back and sit up there on that sketchy looking set. Like, I'll do it, but I got to be on the bottom row. Thankfully, I didn't become famous, so I didn't have to worry about it. So 508-996-0500, if you want to answer that question, what is your favorite game show? And we already got an answer on our Facebook page. I just put it up literally like 2 minutes ago, and Patty's already chimed in. The Price is Right. And that show, I'm not kidding you, The Price is Right prepared me for life, for going out and doing my grocery shopping, probably better than any course I took in school. I learned what things cost by watching The Price is Right. Not only because you would see it on TV and they would have the prices of these items, but also because then I would remember the items and go into the store when I was shopping with my parents and see how much they matched. And I used to keep a little notepad and I'd be like, oh, Swiss Miss hot cocoa. They say that's 99 cents. Let's go to the store and see how much it is. And so that was kind of, I mean, it might be a little bit nerdy, but that's something that I did. I also learned from that show that if I wanted to have expensive things, I was going to have to save up. Because, you know, as a kid, you have no idea what things cost. So it wasn't just about the grocery items that they were doing in the pricing games. It was about the showcase items. And those items up for bid. Like, you learned how much you could expect to pay for a bed, a couch, a refrigerator, a car. You want to take a vacation? Well, that's valued at $2,300. So the only thing that it led me astray on is you can't go in to the store and say, I'll bid $1. because then they're just going to be like, yeah, then you can't buy it. So it's it definitely did prepare me for life. I haven't really watched the Drew Carey version much. It's funny, now that I could just have a TV on with game shows on, I would never think to like, oh, Price is Right is on. And you can probably watch it on demand anytime you want, but I just, game shows were never a destination appointment for me unless it was Double Dare, Remote Control. And then the brief period that I was hanging out in a bar on Tuesdays and they would turn on Jeopardy. I used to be able to walk home from this bar and Tuesdays was the day I got out of work early. So I used to go down to the bar with my friend. We'd play pool and we would just have a bunch of beers and then walk home. And I'd be pretty buzzed at 7:30 when Jeopardy came on. I'd just be like kind of falling asleep at the bar, but just pop my head up and answer the questions. And it was funny. Like, people would wait for it to happen. It doesn't matter if I was right or wrong. It was just humorous, I guess. I don't know. But other than that, I've never really been like, oh, I got to watch this game show at this time. But some people, that's how they set up their day, you know? Especially when it comes to Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. Have to finish dinner by 7 o'clock so we can sit down and watch Wheel, you know? I get it. I understand. So 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. And you can answer it on our Facebook page. And I think a lot of people are going to say Price is Right is their favorite. I think a lot of people will probably say Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy. But remember, there was a time when there was probably 25 different game shows on at any given time. Well, not any given time, not all at the same time, but, you know, in the course of a day. Win, lose, or draw. That was a big one in the 80s. Trying to think of what else when I was younger. Love Connection. Chuck Woolery had another game show, though, at the time, Scrabble. Scrabble was pretty good. That was fun. They had the tiles with the letters that they had to physically place. Not the height of technology, but... And then, of course, as I mentioned, Love Connection. You know, who can forget that typewriter sound? People watching that now would be like, what's that noise? That was also a show that I was like, even as a kid, you know, 7, 8 years old watching that show, I'd be like, is this safe? Do they bring some, like, how well do they vet these people? And as we've come to find out over the years, they didn't vet people on dating shows very well at all. There were murders. 508-996-0500. Jesse says, Press Your Luck was her favorite with the whammies. Yes, I said earlier, I always would watch that just waiting for the Michael Jackson whammy. But the surfing whammy was also pretty fun. The superhero whammy. And to this day, I'll just randomly say, big bucks, no whammy, stop. When I'm waiting for something. So she says she also likes Supermarket Sweep. That's another show where I kind of learned what things cost from. Although by that point, you know, by the time I was watching that, I was old enough to drive and go to the supermarket myself. But you don't realize, you know, when you're a kid, that eventually all these prices are going to be in your head. You know, I'm just thinking to myself, watching this as a kid, the folks playing these game shows are just guessing these prices. They're looking at a box of Swiss Miss and saying, like, I don't know, a dollar? Not realizing that eventually, yeah, no, you're going to know how much everything costs when you're the one shelling out the money for it. So, yeah, you can show me a box of, Bisquick, and I'm going to tell you how much that costs. You can show me a bag of flour, I can tell you how much that costs. Yep. You know why? Because I got to pay for it. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning.
Morning.
So my very favorite was the Gong Show.
That was a great one. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, you had everything in it.
Although, I don't really know. I don't know if I consider that a game show, per se. That was more like a performance piece in the shape of a game show.
Yeah. I know. I almost thought maybe that wouldn't count, but I don't know. Back then, it was considered sort of like a game show.
Oh, definitely. It definitely was, yeah. But
and I love Pictionary, but I don't know if it's still on with Jerry O'Connell. But I don't know because I don't have a TV. So
oh, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, Pictionary, yep. And Jerry O'Connell, I love him. And, of course, he was on, which I don't know was still around, I think it was called The Talk, right?
Oh, yeah, that was like the male version of The View?
Right, but it has females in it. He's on that, and then the network asked him to do Pictionary because they used to try to put little segments in that talk show, The Talk.
Well, I don't know if you're aware, but he's going out on the road and doing, I think they're doing a theater tour with Stand By Me.
Oh, no way.
So they're showing the movie and then they're doing like a Q&A afterwards kind of thing. Yeah, I think it's him and Will Wheaton and Corey Feldman all doing it together.
So how are they doing this? Like what?
I'll have to look it up. So I went to one in Worcester at the Hanover Theater when they did Christmas Vacation. So they showed the movie, and then afterwards Chevy Chase is on stage with a host and they're, you know, answering questions.
Oh, okay. So it'll be like that. All right. That kind of format. Oh, that's interesting. Well, that'd be something if the Z could get that, right?
I mean, I'd love to see them. So there's a lot of these things happening now where they are doing the movie and then the star of the movie. So they did one with Home Alone Macaulay Culkin. And I've seen them do it they did it last year with Jaws and Richard Dreyfuss because it caused some controversy with some of the comments that he made. So, you know, this is becoming like kind of the new thing. It's a movie that everybody knows and knows well, yeah. But this is the chance to see the star and talk to them. So I would not be surprised if the Zeitarian doesn't start booking some of those. I think the reason why they didn't before is they're probably waiting for the upgraded sound system and the upgraded sight lines with the new seats.
Yeah, that's a fun format. I like that idea. Watching the movie and asking questions. I think that's great. I'm surprised that's just starting now, you know?
Right.
I think something like that will last for a long, you know, I don't think that would ever fade out because there's just so many movies.
And what they're doing a lot of the times too is after the Q&A is over, then they do like a little meet and greet session. So, you know, you can buy your ticket to go see the movie for like $25 or, you know, whatever they charge for it. And then for like another $75 after that, you can go wait in line and take a picture with them. So I got to do that with Chevy Chase. Mm-hmm. He just looks totally out of it in our photo though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why? Because why do you say that?
Because he was just totally out of it.
Really? Like mentally out of it?
He just looked like he was, yeah, he looked like he had been checked out at that point. But now he went through some health struggles where he wasn't doing so well for a little while, but now he's a lot sharper, so.
Yeah, wow. Hey, you know what? Two things. I never knew. I thought Robert Redford had already passed away. I hate to say that because he just stayed so quiet in the background. I would have loved to see him and Brad Pitt because Brad Pitt looks like a younger, or he did. Anyways, looked like a lot like Robert Redford to me. That would have been a great father and son comedy crime movie.
Didn't they do a movie together?
No, did they? I never. No. No.
I thought they did something together. I'm looking it up here. Yeah, Spy Game. Yeah, they did Spy Game together.
Did they? Oh, my gosh. I'll have to see if I can pull that up.
Yeah, it's from 2001, so you'll probably be able to find it on, like, Tubi or something.
Yeah, exactly, if it's that old. Oh, wow, that's good. Thanks for letting me know that. And I loved your story about Elvira and being trapped down there. That must have been kind of scary, though, at the same time.
I mean, I wasn't too scared about it. I think everybody was kind of, you know... I'll put it this way. I think Massachusetts people still don't take tornadoes seriously enough.
Right.
Because the attitude down there was pretty relaxed and, you know, we were making a lot of jokes like, gee, I hope when we get upstairs, like everybody's merchandise isn't blown away. Cause you know, that's a lot of money's worth of merchandise up there, like that kind of stuff. But generally I think, you know, everybody handled it perfectly. The staff, the attendees, even the people who kind of knew to give the celebrities their space, you know, they didn't try to go up there and take a selfie. Because they're, you know, they're up there charging you whatever it costs to take a picture with them. You know, $75 if you want to get a selfie with them. And they don't want you sneaking up behind them in a basement and snapping a pic either. But then at the same time, I did see them taking some photos with people because they're like, yeah, this is a little bit of a different situation. You know, this is like, this is a memory you want to have as opposed to just a photo opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat that. And then the story, yeah, absolutely. And she's another one. I didn't know she was still living because I never hear anything about her.
So she retired as Elvira from a couple of years ago because she was, I mean, obviously, like, if somebody wanted to do a commercial or something like that, she could still be Elvira. But in terms of going out and doing it on the road, because she had to carry so much wardrobe with her, and she had to bring a makeup team to do the makeup for her. So she just downscaled, and now she's just Cassandra when she goes to places. But also, too, you know, she's in her mid-70s now. So, yeah, like, it's not going to be the same Elvira people remember, even with all the makeup.
Right, right. That's what I was wondering. Would I even recognize her without it anymore?
There was some conversation a few years ago of should Elvira be a franchise and be passed on to another actress? And I don't know if that's something that people would have an appetite for.
Yeah, I think I could handle that one.
I think, you know? I think she kind of, so not her fault, but her gimmick is a ripoff. And so if somebody else ripped her off, it's, you know, it's kind of justified a little bit. They ripped off Vampyra, so.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's a whole thing. So Mela Nurmi, who played Vampyra and created the Vampyra character, she had fallen down on her luck. You know, she was only on for a brief period of time in the 50s on a Los Angeles station, but she became iconic, but there was no money for her. So she ended up living penniless. At one point, Marlon Brando was paying her phone bill just so that he could call her and they could talk because they were friends. So he would be like, I'm trying to call you so we can talk. And she's like, I don't have a phone. I can't pay for it anymore. So he paid for her phone. She was living in like this tiny little apartment, taking like cleaning jobs. Mm-hmm. And so a producer reached out to her and said, I want to bring back Vampyra. I've got this great idea for a show. It's going to be nationally syndicated. You're going to be Vampyra, and we have this actress who's going to play your daughter, and it's going to be the two of you together, and it's going to be great. And they got her to sign the contract because she owned the rights to the character. So they got her to sign the contract and agree to everything. And then she's waiting for the phone call to come down and start working on this. Never got the phone call. One day she turns on the TV and there's Elvira. So they decided to just cut her out after they got her to sign away the rights so that she couldn't sue them.
Wow, what an interesting story. Gosh, you know, that's so interesting.
You know what? I should someday, you know, especially as we're getting closer to Halloween, I can see if I can get Mela's niece to come on. Her name is Sandra. She's awesome. She's a wonderful woman. She wrote a great book about her aunt's life. And so Mela didn't have any kids, except she did. So, like, for a long time, people didn't know that she had family. She had a son, and the son's father, he only just found out a few years ago who his father was. It was Orson Welles. So this guy had no idea his whole life that he was Orson Welles' son. And then he just found out when Sandra told him just a couple of years ago.
Oh, my God. That must have blew his mind. Whoa.
It's such an amazing story. But I do got to hold you there, though, because I'm behind for a break here.
That's fantastic. Well, you have a blue of a weekend.
You as well.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, let me take one call here before I got to go into the break, and then we'll have the news and then today's edition of the Gen X Files. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Okay, quite well. I got a couple of quiz shows that I kind of like, and I know my wife one of them anyway. The one quiz show that's on is The Weakest Link.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes on, I don't know why, it must have a certain time period that it changed, because last winter it was on at an earlier time, and now it's on a totally different station. But anyway, the other show that I personally liked watching, and I saw a couple on old-time TV, was Groucho Marx and You Bet Your Life.
Oh, great one, yeah.
I really like that. And after watching some of those reruns and The Secret Word when it came down on the duck, and what was it? George Finnehan, George Fenneman, yeah. He just took all of Groucho's jokes and everything. But the questions, I was listening to the questions, and I'm saying, wow, those questions are so easy compared to the ones like on The Weakest Link. That one seems, some of those questions are kind of tough.
Yeah, I mean, shows like that back in those days, they were designed to just be like entertainment. It wasn't really a contest per se. And then especially then you had the whole quiz show scandal where, you know, they found out that people were getting fed the answers and all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't on the up and up. And they had to testify before Congress. If you've never seen that movie, speaking of Robert Redford, quiz show, I think Robert Redford directed that. But it was a fantastic movie in the early 90s where they kind of explored that whole scandal.
Yeah, what was the name of that show? I remember that.
That was 21 was the show that...
21, yeah, okay, good. Yeah, it was 21. I've never seen it on, like, a rerun on TV or something like that.
Oh, no, they don't run that show anymore because it was artificial. Yes, it was. The movie was directed by Robert Redford. Came out in 1994. I remember going out and seeing it in the theater, and I was like, I can't believe this happened. But it was a true story.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Charles Van Doren was his name.
Yes, right. Charles Van Doren was the big winner, and he was the one that was getting fed all the tough answers.
I was just in Savers like last week, and there was a book in the history section written by Charles Van Doren. And I'm not sure if it's the same Charles Van Doren, but I saw the name and I was like, oh, like quiz show. That made me think of it then. So,
yeah, maybe, you know, you'd have to read the book or get some idea what he said, if one can remember parts of the show. But that was an interesting. A lot of people were really into that. You know, watching it, and it's too bad it had to go by the wayside.
No, absolutely. Well, thank you for the call.
Oh, the one more thing.
Oh.
It's too bad around here we don't have any types of quiz shows on the station,
like,
on BSM or...
Oh, I don't know. That might be kind of hard these days. I used to host a game show when I was in high school. I hosted a cable access game show called TV Trivia. And it was like, it was for kids, but it was the most fun I ever had. Like, I loved being a game show host. If there was a way I could do it, I definitely would.
Well, that's what I did with my students. I did the same thing just before lunchtime. And we would have all those breakfast cereals, and I would have them on my counter in my classroom. And just maybe about a half an hour before the kids went to lunch, I pull out a booklet that I wrote and had all kinds of questions like we had in math. For example, what is the bottom number of a fraction called? And the first one to get it got a choice of whatever was for breakfast. If it was like the cereal boxes, hey, they would bring that into the lunchroom with their regular lunch, and if they wanted it, fine. If they shared it with their friends, good. But I like doing that.
Oh, no,
I think it gave the kids a chance to see what they knew.
And fun way to learn. All right, I do got to hold you there. I got to take this break here. I'm running behind. But thank you for the call. You have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy it.
And I got
the Pats win.
Well, let's hope so. All right, thank you. We've got a bunch of answers coming in on App Chat and on Facebook. We're going to get into all that. But right now, I got to get this break in. We'll come back with the Gen X Files, and then we'll get into some more game show talk on Fun Friday, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs. App.
A military helicopter crash in Washington State, a lawsuit against Ticketmaster, and a weekend box office preview.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Four U.S. Army service members were on board an MH-60 Black Hawk helicopter that crashed west of Olympia, Washington on Wednesday night.
A spokesperson at Joint Base Lewis McChord says the helicopter went down during a training flight. It crashed near Summit Lake. The Army is calling it an aviation mishap that's under investigation. Thurston County Sheriff's deputies were the first on scene, and they were pushed back by the intense heat from a fire. I'm Brad Ford.
Vice President J.D. Vance offering to send the National Guard to Detroit to crack down on violent crime. He made the offer to Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
Gretchen, we are happy to send the National Guard to Detroit, Michigan. All you got to do is ask.
Michigan Democratic Party Chairman Curtis Hertel says that would violate the Constitution and state sovereignty and would be an embarrassment, just like it has been everywhere else they do it. The office of the Detroit mayor, Mike Dugan, says homicide shootings and carjackings have had a record decline, and he's defending the progress that's been made. A Texas man accused of making threatening phone calls to New York City mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani. Natalie Migliori reports.
Sources say the NYPD has been investigating calls made to the Democratic Socialist and his campaign dating back to June. The FBI and local agencies were able to trace the calls to Texas, arresting a suspect from Plano. The suspect waived extradition to appear in a Queens court. Authorities say there is no evidence of a specific plot against Mamdani.
A death on a Florida amusement park ride is being investigated. A rider on the Stardust Racers roller coaster at Universal Orlando's Epic Universe lost consciousness and died after being taken to the hospital. Stardust Racers is described as a dual launch coaster with speeds up to 62 miles an hour. The National Hurricane Center suggests Tropical Storm Gabrielle is still expected to strengthen into a Category 1 hurricane by early next week. According to the NHC, Gabrielle has experienced struggles developing due to vertical wind shear and a significant amount of dry air. Currently, the storm is not expected to impact the U.S. East Coast. The FTC is suing Ticketmaster and Live Nation over ticket resale practices. In a lawsuit filed in California yesterday, the FTC accused Ticketmaster and its parent company of illegal and deceptive business practices that have caused customers to pay significantly more than a ticket's face value. The FTC alleges those practices include allowing brokers to violate ticket purchase limits and resell those tickets on its platform. South Park fans will have to wait until next week for a new episode.
I'm going down to South Park, gonna have myself a time.
Friendly faces everywhere, humble folks without temptation.
Co-creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone made the announcement on Wednesday, just hours before the latest episode was scheduled to premiere. They said, apparently when you do everything at the last minute, sometimes you don't get it done. The long-running Comedy Central animated series has seen its viewership surge this season after it has gone after the Trump administration. One episode featuring a parody of Charlie Kirk was pulled from the cable network's rotation following the murder of the conservative activist. I'm Mark Mayfield.
A new study links marijuana use to an increased risk of type 2 diabetes. Those who use weed are close to four times more likely to get type 2 diabetes compared to the general population. That's what researchers reported this week at a meeting of the European Association for the Study in Vienna. It involved nearly 100,000 people whose medical records revealed cannabis use. They were compared to more than 4 million people with no record of marijuana use. The sports thriller, Him, looking to get off to a good start at the box office this weekend.
There are a lot of people saying you could be the next great quarterback.
I can already see it now.
The film, produced by Jordan Peele and starring Marlon Wayans, is projected to make $15 to $18 million in its debut weekend. Meanwhile, the drama A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey, starring Margot Robbie and Colin Farrell, is eyeing an $8 to $10 million start. Despite the two new releases, Demon Slayer Infinity Castle is expected to take first place for the second straight week with $21 to $25 million. I'm Michael Kastner.
WBSM Sports.
It was the A's over the Red Sox 5-3 yesterday afternoon at Fenway. Sox are in Tampa tonight at 7:35. Patriots host the Steelers Sunday afternoon at 1.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
A mix of sun and clouds today. Upper 70s to near 80, mainly cloudy tonight, 51. Sunshine cooler tomorrow, 67. Partly cloudy on Sunday, 65.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And we'll get more into the game show talk in just a few moments, but right now it is time for some different pop culture talk.
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date, or as Dennis Miller used to say back in the 90s, let's see who fed it and ate it this week. Celebrity birthdays. Legendary actress, English actress Rosemary Harris is celebrating her 98th birthday today. American audiences best know her as Aunt May in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man films. Bill Medley, one half of the Righteous Brothers, is 85. Actor Jeremy Irons, who voiced Scar in The Lion King, turns 77. And model Twiggy is 76. Musician Nile Rodgers is 73. And rock Arlita Ford turns 67. SNL alum Sherry O'Terry is 61, as is country singer Trisha Yearwood. And journalist Soledad O'Brien is 59. Celebrity chef Michael Simon, 56. Actress Shauna Lathan, 54. Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon is 51. And actress Allison Sweeney, who starred on Days of Our Lives and hosted The Biggest Loser, turns 49 today. In 1976, a UFO was reportedly seen over Tehran in Iran. Two F-4 Phantom II jets lost power during a chase. In 1977, the chairs on which Archie and Edith Bunker sat through 8 seasons of All in the Family were given to the Smithsonian Institution. In 1979, Musicians United for Safe Energy, or MUSE, kicked off a series of 5 star-studded concerts at New York's Madison Square Garden. Organized primarily by Graham Nash, Jackson Browne, Bonnie Raitt, and John Hall, the concerts were later captured on the triple live album No Nukes, the MUSE Concerts for a Non-Nuclear Future. Bruce Springsteen, who was among the performers, would later release his performance as a 2021 live album, the legendary 1979 No Nukes Concert. Other performers included the Doobie Brothers, James Taylor, Chaka Khan, and Carly Simon. In 1981, more than 10 years after the final Simon and Garfunkel studio album, Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel reunited for a concert in New York Central Park. The response was overwhelming, with 500,000 fans reportedly attending the show, although the actual number has since been disputed. The 21-song performance was captured in the 1982 live album The Concert in Central Park and aired as a concert film on TV that still airs from time to time on PBS to this day. Speaking of game shows today, in 1983 on this date, the nighttime syndicated edition of the NBC daytime game show Wheel of Fortune premiered.
Welcome to you.
And how do you do?
Everybody's waiting here at Pooh Corner. Waiting
on this date in 1983, Welcome to Pooh Corner premiered on the Disney Channel, which was kind of a weird show, but I still watch it from time to time if I come across it on YouTube for nostalgia value. And totally not because I'm taking any edibles while I'm watching it. In 1984, Highway to Heaven premiered on NBC. The show starred Michael Landon and Victor French, reunited from their days on Little House on the Prairie. In 1986, Captain EO with Michael Jackson premiered in Disney theme parks.
But I'm a creep.
September 19th, 1992, Radiohead filmed the video for their new single Creep during a show at the venue in Oxford, England. During its initial release, Creep was not a chart success. However, upon re-release in 1993, it became a worldwide hit. On this date in 1993, Pearl Jam released its sophomore album, Versus. Despite the fact that the band declined to release any music videos around the album, they still found success with many of its singles, including the acoustic Daughter. The album set the record for the most copies of an album sold in its first week, a record that it held for 5 years. In 1994, the show ER made its debut on NBC. In 1995, the Unabomber's Manifesto was published by the New York Times and the Washington Post, leading to his eventual arrest. And in 2002, The holiday International Talk Like a Pirate Day was founded by John Bauer and Mark Summers, but not the Double Dare Mark Summers, as we were talking about game shows today. That's the Gen X Files for September 19th, 2025. All right, I got to get another break in here. Before I do that, though, I want to let you know about something great that's happening this weekend. I talked to you a lot about Ryan's Pub, Ryan Sports Pub and Billiards, 500 Hathaway Road in New Bedford, and all the great food they have there, the great drinks, the great atmosphere. But one of the things they're known for, it's right in the name, is billiards. And they are having an eight-ball tournament tomorrow. Registration is at noon, and the tournament starts at 12:30. It's open to all players, so all different skill levels, open to all players, $20 a person. Couple of rules to know about. You call the pocket, and you can't win or lose on the break. So again, this starts, registration starts tomorrow at noon at Ryan Sports Pub and Billiards, 500 Hathaway Road in New Bedford, with a start time for the tournament of 12:30. And you can visit Ryan's Pub on Facebook for more details. So if you like to play eight ball, get yourself out there to this tournament. And, you know, you might just make some new friends and find your new favorite hangout at Ryan's Sports Pub and Billiards, 500 Hathaway Road in New Bedford, inside the Whalers Inn and Suites. All right, let me get this break in. We will be back in just a few moments. All right, welcome back in. Sorry, Jesse, had to do that. We are talking today. Our Fun Friday question brought to you by D's Hot Dogs is, what is your favorite game show? Getting all kinds of answers coming in from people and all different methods. Got a few more here. So Jesse said she also likes Shop Till You Drop and Double Dare, Legends of the Hidden Temple, all those Nickelodeon shows. That was the one I couldn't think of earlier. My brother also texted in and said, Nick Arcade. Carol Ann says, Win Ben Stein's Money, which is how a lot of America was introduced to Jimmy Kimmel, was Win Ben Stein's Money. Over on App Chat, we got a bunch of answers. We have Puck says, Win, Lose, or Draw, but the version hosted by Mark Price, better known as Skippy on Family Ties. DSY says, I used to like Let's Make a Deal. NB Resident, Concentration was my favorite of all time. I loved that Concentration with Alex Trebek. That was the one, if I remember right, it was like a rebus puzzle that you had to solve. Dave says, I can't say it was my favorite, but The Dating Game had a bunch of contestants who eventually became famous. Farrah Fawcett, Burt Reynolds, Steve Martin, to name a few. Yeah. The Dating Game it's fun to watch. It's also the show that got somebody killed. There's a whole documentary about, there's a documentary and a fictional, dramatic reenactment type film on Netflix. Let's see, what do we got coming in on Facebook here? Let me refresh. Give me 1 second. Scott says Double Dare is his favorite as well. I think Double Dare was a big one for kids because even if you didn't have Nickelodeon, it became so popular, they syndicated it. They had a syndicated version that wasn't the same as the Nickelodeon version. And they had a couple of other versions. They had Family Double Dare, which was on Fox. And then they had Super Sloppy Double Dare, where they found a way to make it even grosser. And then there was also the home game that you could buy. I had that. It was basically just a bunch of silly little games all built around a helmet. Very strange. Nobody ever wanted to play. It was like the hardest game to play. But I was so into Double Dare. In fact, many years, whenever I had to wear a suit, I always wore a suit with sneakers, not only because I hated dress shoes, but because Mark Summers wore a suit with sneakers. So I just wanted to be like him. All right, I got to take one more break here before the end of this hour. We'll be back in a few moments. All right, we are going to be going into the news in just a moment. Before I do that, though, the sun is out, the sun is shining, and you could be making the sun work for you. You could be going solar, saving money on your electric bill, and actually getting paid by the electric company. How does it all work? Well, Isaacson Solar can explain it to you. They can also explain how you can get those tax credits that expire.